All right, never mind. So we're going to play just one more song. Valentine picked it. And wish everyone a good morning. Thank you.
But we could be beautiful. Oh, it's true. be beautiful.
Good morning, Medford. It is currently 6:05 a.m. and you are listening to WMFO in Medford. And this morning, we have a guest on, and I will have her introduce herself.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name, guest?
I'm April.
And welcome, April. How you doing this morning?
I'm surprised to be awake this early.
Yeah, it's a beautiful morning. It's just so those listeners, in case you guys are in bed, it is still dark out.
Yesterday, and in the last few days, people have had midterms and are talking about waking up super early and like being productive in the morning, and I'm just like shaking my head saying they're crazy, and here I am.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine waking up until you do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we are.
So we can get started for the programming of today. I just wanted to, you know, remind our listeners that you're listening to Chatting with Molly every other Thursday, 6 a.m.
Rambling with Molly?
Yeah, rambling. What's discussing. Some other good synonyms? Yeah, chatting, discussing, just talking.
Talking with Molly.
Yeah.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, so AP, I have some questions for you. If you could eat one taste and have it be multiple textures for the rest of your life, or eat one texture and have it be multiple taste, which would you choose?
Can you think of any foods that have the same taste but lots of different textures?
Yes, potatoes. So potatoes are like pretty bland, like have all the same taste, but you can have them in so many different forms, like mashed potato, and this is like no seasoning obviously because it's just potatoes, but you got mashed potatoes, you got the fried triangles the dining halls
the
have
potato
you
chips.
Have potato chips, you have crinkle fries, you have wedges, you have home fries, again mashed variety or smashed if you like the little skin in there.
I think I'd have to go with that, you know. My favorite food's french fries. You got me on potatoes.
Yeah, they are really a wonderful thing in life. So we're going to listen to a little Frank Sinatra coming up next, and I hope you guys enjoy.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together weather-wise. It's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
And that was a little Come Fly With Me by Frank Sinatra. I hope you guys all enjoyed. So, April, do you have any plans this weekend?
Yeah, I do, actually.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm just going to drive down to Philly with my parents and run a little marathon.
Wow, that is truly incredible. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. April is going to run a full marathon, 26.2. Do you know how the length of a marathon was decided?
I do not.
So in ancient Greece, there was this guy who, I don't remember the full story, but there was a guy who needed to warn his people or someone else about like either war or troops coming. And so he ran, I believe, from Athens to Marathon, Greece, which is like a city state at the time. And then ran it just like spontaneously. It happened to be 26.2 miles and then died, just fell over and died. So that's why it's this like acclaimed tough thing to do. So we actually have a caller calling in, and I think he may have something to say about this story. So caller, give me 1 second. I need to kind of figure out how to
I hope I don't
merge you.
Run 26 miles and go down, you know.
I don't think you will.
And Molly here actually has run a marathon herself, so it's not that crazy of an idea that I can't do it, right?
Caller, are you with us?
About this.
Yes.
Oh, good morning.
Give me 1 second.
Good morning. That's actually close to the story of marathon, but not exact.
Okay.
It was around 480 BCE, and the Persians were invading Greece. And they chose to land on Marathon. And the Athenians were waiting for them. They had asked their allies from Sparta to join them. And the Spartans would have joined them and joined them in future battles, but they couldn't join them this time because it was a religious holiday. So the Athenians, who were about 50,000, met the Persians on land, who were, you know, said by Herodotus to be a million, but even if they weren't the million, there were hundreds of thousands and greatly outnumbered the Athenians. But the Athenians beat them, mainly because they were better armored and they had better weapons, and the Athenians were fighting for their homeland, and most of the Persian army were just sort of slaves, didn't want to be there. And when the Athenians won, they, as you said, Molly, they sent the messenger back to Marathon to run and give him the good news. And he did, and his name is known. I forget the name, but we know the name. And he ran back, and he delivered the message, and he died.
Crazy story.
And as you say, the distance from Marathon to Athens is 26 point whatever miles, which is a modern marathon.
So, do you know why Sparta had a religious holiday and Athens didn't?
Yes. Although they generally worship the same gods, what we call the Olympian gods, you know, Zeus, Hera, Poseidon, they had some of their own gods, and they all had their own holidays. Their religious life was not uniform, even though it had a lot of overlap.
Interesting. And why was Athens trying to, like, notify Marathon? Was Marathon, like, within Athens and part of...
No, Marathon was notifying Athens. And Marathon is not a city-state. It's just a place where the battle was. Mm. It's where the Persians landed.
Interesting. So it's a coastal city.
Right.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much for your insight, caller. Do you want to tell us your name?
Yes. I am Richard Lipman, father of Molly Lipman. And I remember driving Molly to, I think it was New York, where she ran a marathon, just like April's going to run a marathon this weekend. Molly ran a full marathon. It was New York, right?
It was Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah, okay, it was Chicago. And I don't know if I've ever been prouder of Molly, though I've been proud of her a lot. She ran a full marathon. Me and her mother picked her up at the end. We wrapped her in one of these aluminum foil blankets. She was, and we put her in the car, we drove home. She was tired for a few minutes. And after about 5 minutes, she'd completely recovered from running a full marathon. I've never seen, I had no idea my daughter had such a strong constitution. I was very proud of you that day, Molly.
Well, thank you, Dad. That is very sweet. But just for listeners, I took more than 5 minutes to recover, don't you guys worry? But I appreciate the scent of it very much.
I love your radio station, Molly. Chatting with Molly. Everyone should listen.
All right. Wonderful. And with that, we will say adieu.
Love you, sweetie. Bye.
Bye,
love
April. You,
bye.
Wow, it's great to have callers in the morning, you know, really dedicated fan base.
Yeah, I think my parents had definitely the opposite reaction. So I, like, call up my parents and I'm like, hey, I want to run a marathon. And they're like, are you crazy? Like, you should do your schoolwork. How do you have time to run a marathon?
Man, but here you are after training for so long. How are you feeling? This weekend.
I'm super excited. Like, I've been thinking about this moment of, like, running for 9 weeks. And I think my parents were right in a sense. It took a lot longer than you'd think. You train for a while and you increase your long run every week.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to 19 miles, 22 miles, you're running for, like, 4 hours.
It's a crazy amount of time.
Just, like, one morning, 4 hours, just running through Boston. It's been a time sink, but it's been really fun.
That's awesome. What's some of your favorite memories from training? And actually, they don't have to be favorite, just most notable or any... fun stories you ran into?
I don't know if I have had any, like, spontaneously fun things. I've certainly been on the search for water before.
Mm.
I've run out of water really quickly, so I'm, like, eyes peeled, looking for water fountains. And I really like to run along the Charles River, and there's an esplanade and a park and a bike path. And there are water fountains, and it's just a game of seeing which ones still work.
Very true.
And I do also really love knowing the geography of a place. I'm a pretty spatial person.
Gotcha.
So running lets me sort of place out parts of Boston in my mind map?
Yeah. I think the best way to really get to know a city is to, like, walk it. And in this case, run it. Because you can go through years using, like, Google Maps or Apple Maps and never, like, really having a good feel for a city. And it's a really cool thing. And I think training for a marathon is obviously a huge endeavor, but that feels intimidating. Like, if you go to a new city, like, registering for a 10K or a half marathon.
Molly, you ran a half marathon abroad, didn't you?
I did. And it was a really great way to get to know a city. Because training, you have to find all these routes, and it was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah. What are you most looking forward to?
I don't know. I, like, have been envisioning this moment for a while, just, like, crossing the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just super excited to, like, one, say that I finished a marathon, and two, like, hug my dad and say, like, thank you for supporting me through this.
That's so wonderful.
Shout out to him. He's probably listening, but...
Wonderful.
And pro tip from our dearest Molly Littman. Suck on Jolly Ranchers throughout your run. I did it during my last long run of 22 miles, and it changed the game. Totally changed the game.
Incredible. I don't think she's listening, but I want to give out a shout out to Molly Kewen for really coming up with the Jolly Rancher idea.
Really?
Yeah, my friend Molly, who I trained with, hated goo and hated eating, and really liked the Jolly Ranchers, not only for the sugar, but also to kind of, like, keep her interested along the way. She'd kind of give herself landmarks and be like, okay, at mile 7, I'll pop a green one in, and at this, I'll pop an orange one, or a red one in, and yeah.
What's goo?
So what is goo? What a great question. Goo comes in so many forms. There's kind of the standard is just like a sugary paste that comes in a little packet, and you can pop it in and give you very instant carbohydrates that you can break down pretty easily. And I really liked, there was this like organic homemade Iowa City goo that a running store would turn out. And most of like the on-brand goos are like kind of pasty and weird, but this one was salted caramel flavor. But the best part was that the texture was just like caramel, so it didn't taste like a weird paste. It was just like caramely and delicious.
I've tried the fruit ones, like salted watermelon.
That's tough.
I've been having issues with those, so I'm trying a more organic one like you. There's like a honey version, so it kind of just tastes like you're eating some honey.
Yeah, that's great. So up next, to kind of wake us all up, we're going to have the queen herself with her king and Beyonce and Jay-Z singing Crazy in Love.
Oh, Tennis shoes, don't even need to buy a new dress. If you ain't there, ain't nobody else to impress. The way that you know what I gotta do is the beat that my heart gets when I'm with you. But I still don't want to say just how you look and do I know what else can. Come and look, it's so crazy right now. Your love's coming. When the flow is loco, young B and the ROC. Uh-oh, OG, big homie, the one and only. Stick bony, but the pockets are fat like Tony. Soprano, the rock handle like Ben X2. I shake bonies, man, you can't get next to. The genuine article, I do not sing, though. I sling, though, if anything, I bling, yo. Star like Ringo, war like a Greensboro wreck. Crazy, bring your whole set. Jay-Z in the range, crazy and deranged. They can't figure him out, they like, hey, is he insane? Yes, sir, I'm cut from a different cloth. My texture is the best firm chinchilla. I've been dealing with chain smokers. How do you think I got the name over? I've been realer, the game's over. Fall back young, ever since I made the change over to platinum. The game's been a rap one.
Got me looking so crazy, my baby.
Around, yeah. You can't forget about me. Why you weren't looking, I was getting even higher. I'm having so much fun by myself. I want the whole world to know that I don't need anybody else to row my boat. And how good it feels to have nobody to make conversations with. And how good it feels to have nobody to keep up relations with.
And that was a little Lake Street Dive for you. And April, do you have anything to let us know?
Yeah, I have a PSA.
Let's hear it.
Walking is good exercise.
It's true.
I've got a little spiel to read from this binder.
Great.
Although other physical activities can provide a more vigorous workout, walking is easy, requires no special equipment, and is good exercise for most adults. In urban areas, walking could be an excellent alternative to driving or even taking public transportation. For example, it's just a little over 2.5 miles from the Tufts campus in Bedford to Harvard Square in Cambridge, a distance that can be walked in about 45 minutes by a healthy adult. Walking can get you fresh air, exercise, burn calories, save you money, and with all the inattentive and otherwise impaired drivers on the road, it's safer than riding a bike. And that is a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Thank you so much. That is so important.
I've done that walk slash run.
Yeah.
Why do we do PSAs here at Tufts Radio?
That's a great question. So the WMFO 91.5 is a certified radio station and is regulated by the FCC. And part of the deal of us being able to broadcast freely whatever content we want is we have to kind of give back to the community and let them know certain safety hazards or different PSAs that the FCC wants us to. So
did they write that blurb or did we?
Yeah, I think these are like official PSAs. Who knows though?
Sounds
I should look like into
my
that.
My dad wrote that. My dad goes on his daily walk every morning.
Really? I would love to kind of get into a routine where I could walk every morning.
Well,
I feel like that'd be fun.
We walk a lot every morning on campus.
That's true. On campus we do walk a lot.
I have like a Fitbit, so it tracks how many steps and miles I'm walking.
Yeah, what's your average?
I reach 10,000 every day.
10,000 steps.
On campus. And then all of a sudden if I'm home or over winter break, my steps average goes down like twofold, threefold.
Yeah, for sure. So 10,000 steps for some non-Fitbit users, what like mileage is that usually on average?
That's around 4 or 5.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, we have a lot of spread out buildings here at Tufts.
Yeah, we do.
Especially with our grand hill in the middle.
Yeah, that's true. So what are you studying here at Tufts?
I'm currently a double major. I do a little bit of geology in my free time and some civil engineering with most of my time.
That's incredible. So what brought you to like civil engineering and what do you like about it, and what are you looking forward to about it?
In high school, I was a techie for my theater department, so mm-hmm. I was always with a screwdriver in my hand building huge sets. We had a huge musical in high school, and so we would build things that had two stories, three stories, bridges that moved, windows, towers, you name it, and I loved it. I think if I didn't have the opportunity to go to college, I could have been a construction worker and loved it.
That's awesome.
But because I do have the opportunity to go to college, and I'm really grateful for it, I knew I wanted to build buildings and be a part of it. And growing up, I didn't think I was necessarily artsy enough to be an architect, but I was always pretty good at math and science. So the other side of architecture is the engineering portion of it, like making sure the building stands, that it's up to fire code, that it has all the plumbing that it needs. So the civil engineer makes sure that it's structurally sound and makes sure it has all the utilities and electrical wiring that it needs.
That's great.
Yeah, so.
And how'd you get into the geology side? Because I know civil engineering overlaps with geology a lot.
It strangely does. I wasn't expecting it to overlap. But freshman year, they don't have you taking any civil engineering classes here at Tufts.
It's true.
Nor this semester as sophomores. We don't take our intro to civil class until sophomore spring. So for a year and a half in college, you're taking engineering prerequisites, which can bog you down a little bit. So I was looking for something that I was interested in that would inspire me to keep plugging through school, and geology was that thing.
That's great. Wonderful. So we're going to play a little Grateful Dead, and it's coming to you next. This was a special request from our caller, Richard Lippman.
Feel free to call in if you want to.
Oh, yeah. And any other listeners, please feel free to call in. We will most likely put you on the air.
The phone number is on the website, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Also, for those of you who may be listening in your cars or our passengers, because we don't want you driving and talking on the phone, mm-hmm. the number is 855-915-9636, which is also 855-915-WMFO.
Woohoo.
So give us a quick call.
Sun, you come, and like the wind, you go. time to hate, barely time to wait.
Weekend.
Good question. I am going to Madison, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Yes.
What's there?
So I have some friends who go to University of Wisconsin, and I will be visiting them, which is very exciting. It's a big Michigan-Madison football game. So, yeah, that'll be good game day on Saturday.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
You're going to get the tailgating experience that we don't have at Tufts, but most other universities do.
It's true. I think I'll mostly get the cold experience because I believe it is snowing currently in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, that is something we don't have here yet.
Yeah. But honestly, if it's cold already, it might as well be snowing, you know?
Okay.
Like if it's cold, you might as well have the beauty of the snow.
So does that mean, as you're traveling, I assume you're taking a plane.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring all your snow gear, like wear your snow boots to the airport? And
I might wear my snow boots to the airport because I would like wear them to class, I would wear them without snow.
Okay.
So I think I could wear them in this weather.
All right.
Yeah, so I just found this really interesting question. It's kind of a two-part. It just goes, there are two types of people in this world. What are the two types? If you could come up with this like binary system to categorize everyone. And while you're thinking, I have a friend who kind of came up with a binary system, and he thinks that everyone in the world can be characterized as a rat or a snake. And the rat is kind of, let's see, a rat can be described as someone who is always having good intentions but kind of like bumbles around and never does anything malicious, but if they ever kind of like don't show up or cancel on you, it's because they were unorganized and they were like futzing around. But a snake is kind of more calculating with their movements. And And I think both snakes and rats obviously have good and bad qualities to them. But everyone can kind of be described as either a snake or a rat. And obviously it's a spectrum, but if you had to pick binary, I think I would definitely associate myself. I'm definitely a rat, I think.
I think I'm pretty snake-like.
You think?
Well, what would you think?
Yeah. I think, yeah, I would characterize you as a snake, maybe very, like,
Calculated
and purposeful and more like aware. I think the snake good quality is a snake.
I consider myself organized.
Yeah.
I feel a little guilty, but I definitely first thought in my head was gender. Done for you, but at the same time, not everyone can be put into two boxes.
That's true. But I'm trying to think of maybe other... Oh, we have a submission via the text by our most participatory member this morning. And my dad says the kind of people who divide the world into two categories and the kind who don't.
Mm.
So
there you go.
That's a
good
response.
Huh.
That's true.
In Chinese culture, they already have everyone divided into 12 different animals with the zodiac.
Oh, true.
And, like, even though it's based by birth year, it's also a personality thing. Like, right. Everyone born in this year must have this personality.
Right.
Which is very strange. But also, I think they write the zodiac in a way that it could include everyone.
Right. And I think it's so interesting that, like, different cultures have different kind of adaptations of that, like, horoscopes. Are the same type of thing. It's these personalities that are decided by your, like, birth time. Instead of year, it's month. And it's so interesting that those are so similar and, like, very different, comes from very different, like, societies. But everyone kind of feels like there must be some abstract meaning to when they're born, I guess.
This question reminds me of a question that I read yesterday. I'm studying for a math test tomorrow. Don't worry, Dad, I'm studying. And there's a bonus question that she usually includes at the end. And on the practice test, it was mathematics discovered or invented?
That's a really interesting question. I think it depends on what type of mathematics. So I think things like calculus were discovered, I would say, because I think calculus is rooted so much in the natural world, the way things happen, like the fact that position, speed, and acceleration, or I should say velocity and acceleration, are all like derivatives of each other, is a natural phenomenon. And in econ, you have the like marginal rates being a like marginal cost being a derivative of the fixed cost. And I think these are like natural occurrences.
Well, I mean, it's your definition of natural. Like, we don't have an economy without us inventing a stock market.
Okay.
And then, like, with acceleration, how often do we see like a constant acceleration in the natural world? Like, we have cars that can actually do that, but like a runner doesn't have a constant acceleration besides, like, I don't know, dropping something.
I think constant acceleration might be like the most fundamental because of gravity. Like, we have constant acceleration all around us. And even the econ example, I would say, is much more natural than like what we say, like, quote, the economy, because we can just apply this to like the idea of marginal cost and fixed cost is really can be applied to any kind of quantitative like uniting. And so I think if I had like let's see, the marginal cost of doing an action, not even money, is like each time you do something, the added cost. So if I take the subway, the marginal cost is the exact same as the average cost, because every single time I'm swiping into the subway, it's the same price. But let's say I am starting a business and my first cost, the cost of my first week is a lot to, you know, set up the space and all that. It's the huge, big cost. And then the marginal cost goes down day to day.
But like going backwards, like money was an invention by humans. Yeah. So then anything therefore to do with math and money was that then invented?
I don't know. I think even if we didn't have money, we'd really still have the idea. I think derivatives would pop up anyways.
Yeah. I definitely think math like always exists with or without us.
Yeah.
Things are going to go
in. So then it is discovered.
Way.
Yeah.
But then like things like money, for example, it feels as though we've invented these algorithms to help us understand it better.
Yeah, I think we've like, yeah, I think it's both in that these like fundamental principles are around that we've discovered. So I often think about like physics and all the kind of electric circuitry that we always have to study, and that I think about people have made all these theorems that you can just look in a textbook and do problems and they're just right, and we would supposedly know that they're truthful because of the proof, but really we didn't come up with these theorems until we saw them in real life. So people saw, like Galileo saw that two objects dropped at the same time no matter the weight and or mass, I should say, and then he took that information he observed and then went back and kind of like figured out the math behind it. And it's interesting, we have another submission from our caller that he says that calculus was discovered, he uses the word discovered, by Napoleon's engineers to aim his cannon. So I guess that's a natural phenomenon, the way a cannon, you know, shoots a projectile, and they needed to discover a type of mathematical model to model that.
Yeah, but similarly, like, we invented the cannon.
Yeah, but so even if it wasn't a cannon, if, like, a monkey kicked a rock off of a ledge, like straight on, it would have a projectile that we could model.
Yeah, but I guess it would still have the projectile rather, or the motion, if we cared or didn't care about
right
it.
Yeah, so I think we're coming to the conclusion that it was discovered.
Yeah,
but then also I think there are some kind of like rigged up systems to make calculations easier that we've definitely invented. I actually heard this discussion, do negative numbers exist, or is it just kind of something that we've rigged up in order to calculate things?
Yeah.
Because I think of like the basic math, when you're trying to explain math to a fourth grader, you think about like cookies, like, oh, I have 4 cookies, you have 5 cookies, and together we have 9 cookies. And multiplication is like, if I have a pizza and I want to split it up into different pieces, we use division, and then 1 pizza divided by 8 is 8 pieces, and so now you have physically 8 pieces. But it's hard to do that with negative numbers.
I suppose. Because
they can't be quantized.
Yeah, but like if I have a whole pizza and then, or I have 1 piece of pizza or 2 or whatever, and then you take them, then I'm down 2 pieces of pizza
that
I once had.
Okay.
And like it is subtraction, but it is like something very physical. Like I don't have them anymore. Right. So I'm at like negative 2.
But now you're at 0, I think would be the, right? So like how can you have, I guess it depends on your reference. So if you just decide your reference is 2 and now you have none, now you have negative 2 pizzas.
Or like if you steal it from me, then you owe me 2 pieces of pizza.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting, hard to quantize, but still very, I would admit that negative numbers are very helpful. You know, they do exist in the math world. And so to wrap up, we will play a little more Beatles. And this song is especially near and dear to my heart because it says my name in it. And I always used to love this song when my father would play it for me when I was a mere youngin'. So here is a little obla-dee, obla-da.